The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
He's the man that loves talking college football. Pete Futak from College Football News joining us on the Hobson & Hobson News Line. You can follow him at PETEFIUTAK on Twitter. Pete, always good to have you on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, I guess. Like Domino said earlier, he's got the college football itch, and you are here to scratch it this morning. The lists and everything else are still out there, and it's time to start talking a little bit deeper with the camps going on and everybody putting the pads on.
It is weird. It's that time of year when it flips. And, you know, for all the, well, college football is a 12-month sport. It kind of is, but like anything else, now you get the regular fans are kind of getting back into it a little bit. So this is where we're about to turn. We're a couple of weeks away from actual live games. That once the investing starts, then obviously everyone really ramps it up. But now it's when everyone starts to really care, and it's when it starts to get fun again. It feels like football season now.
Hey, Pete, I don't know the full trajectory of your career, but I'm assuming you, like most people, had bosses at one point who would tell you, I need a list. It's June. Put a list together. Somebody's overrated. Somebody's overrated. These are the did you have to partake in a bunch of those at some point during your career?
I shockingly was on the flip side of that, where I kind of was the list guy, because we started CFN in 1998 and quickly realized that all these 3,000-word things that we would write would do okay. And my quick story is I had a good friend who knew Bobby Bowden, knew the whole Florida State program inside, and out, wrote this awesome, like, 5,000-word inside thing on Bobby Bowden and the Florida State program. And it did okay. And when I was sitting there and there was like a commercial with a bunch of mascots, and I'm like, hey, I'm just going to whip up a top 10 list of the best mascots. And that crushed this really awesome Florida State piece like by 3 times over by in traffic. And I quickly figured out that that's really what people like on the internet. So, yeah, that's what we do. But there's a way to do this while making it gimmicky or clickbaity, though.
It is amazing, though. People love when we go to events. They love our T-shirts. They love lists. They love the simple things, do they not?
Quick. Yeah, try to get anybody, including myself, to sit down and read something that's long. Everyone wants something fast on their phone, so that's how it'll work.
How did Cavalcade of Whimsy, what is the impetus for this whole, let's do it this
it
way?
It just is, I do it once in a while now. I used to do it weekly during the season. Now I'll drop one right before the season. It really is just me kind of unleashing everything and just being like, all right, because what I have to do is so analytical, because such of the bulk of what we do has to do with the betting world and making sure both sides are represented, just trying to get the score right. That's where I just sort of let it rip and say, okay, here's what's going on in the college football world.
All right, I'm
going
to give you a topic for a list. You tell me. I don't care about the names themselves. How many names are on the list? Teams go. Capable of winning a national championship in college football.
Capable. See, that, and this is where this gets interesting, because there's two different parts to what you're asking. And everyone likes to go, well, what are the odds of a team getting to the college football playoff? Like, yeah, like last year, Michigan could get to the college football playoff, but Cincinnati could get there. But this isn't an NCAA basketball tournament, where if you get hot for a day and all your three-point shooters get rolling, you can take down a number one seed. You can't just fluke your way through Alabama and then Georgia. It just doesn't fly. So the long-winded way to answer your question, I would say right now there, I would put 5 teams out. Actually, I'll say 6. Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson. And talent-wise, I will throw USC in that mix in a funky sort of way. And that 6th team being, what's the mystery SEC team? Where's the 2019 LSU of this year? Where's the team where everything comes together and it just works on the right season where everything sort of breaks right? So I would say there's 6 teams out there. If anybody outside of those 6 can crack and actually win the national title, great. It'd be fun. I mean, it'd be great to see something funky happen. I don't think that that's it. I would say there's your theme.
Pete Futek, College Football News, with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. And based on the way it's going, I don't think it's going to change. You're going to see, aside from, like you said, a surprise here and there, you're going to see 5-6 teams tops every year. Safe assessment, right?
Well, here's the part of this that could throw everything into a twist. The transfer portal. While it's great for everybody because, look, now if you're a big-time team and you need a middle linebacker, you just go get the leading tackler from Central Michigan or whatever, and you figure out the NIL offers on the side there, and it all comes together. Where this is a negative is it has gutted the quarterback rooms. Well, think about what USC had. USC had, now they got a great one in Caleb Williams, obviously. They also had Jackson Dart, who could be maybe not the starting quarterback of Ole Miss. They had Keaton Slovis, who's going to be the starting quarterback at Pitt. And even for a while, they had JT Daniels, who's now going to be the starting quarterback at West Virginia. They don't have those backups anymore. So if you're in Alabama, if Bryce Young goes down for a little bit, they've got talent there, certainly. They don't have a Mac Jones or a Tua who's ready right now and say, yeah, there's the next NFL guy. Or Ohio State, if it loses to C.J. Stroud, it doesn't have Quinn Ewers, who is now at Texas, as their starting quarterback. So the one twist, what you're saying is all those teams are dead on right, but if they knock out your starting quarterback, and you can't, it's not like the NFL where you can go like 2-2 in the month of October. You got your starting quarterback for a while, this whole calculus changes.
Which is crazy when you see Georgia's quarterback room. It's beyond deep, relatively speaking.
Yeah. And actually better. You know, I know a guy won the national championship. I'm not going to be a Stetson Bennett denier here or anything like that. But the drop off from Stetson Bennett to the two isn't quite as bad as it will be at like an Ohio State or an Alabama this year.
I did not follow. Did you bag on Stetson Bennett at any point when he got the job, won the job, three games in? What camp? Where would you actually put yourself?
How about deep into the third quarter of the national championship where I'm seeing JT Daniels warm up on the sideline and being like, they got to do something because they can't move the ball. And it's sort of lost in the air. The guy won the national title. So I'm not dogging, you know, he got the job done. But he had one really awesome drive. And that's what it took. Hey, sometimes that's what you got to do as a quarterback. You're going against an elite defense. You're not having your best day, and he still came through. So give him all the credit for pulling that thing off. But, man, that was – if you rewatch the game, remember the game – that was ugly up until, what was it, the third quarter. But again, to his credit, when the game was on the line, you know, after the fumble, after all the mistakes, he came up with two clutch throws, and that was it. So give him credit for that. But talent-wise, I will still argue that that Kirby Smart, I'm dogging an elite head coach and national champion head coach. I'll still kind of argue that. Yeah, Jake Fromm, all good. You did have the best quarterback there for a while in Justin Fields, and I still sort of think talent-wise, if he stays healthy, JT Daniels is probably the best quarterback. But, hey, that's Bennett. Keep dogging him. He guy won a national championship.
Yeah, the Justin Fields thing, he did win the national championship, and that takes a little bit of the fire out of anybody who wants to say the guy can't pick a quarterback, correct?
So there is relative. There's obviously other circumstances involved there, too, so I'm not going to, say that it was just because of that. But yeah, certainly when it comes to, you know, who are the most talented quarterbacks in his room? You know, sometimes, you know, you find the guy who just sort of fits what you got. And, you know, again, give Stetson Bennett credit. I mean, if you have an elite defense, they kind of did what Alabama did back in the day when they had, you know, Greg McElroy winning a national championship. And, you know, they went with a John Parker Wilson. Jacob Coker. Jacob Coker won the national championship for Bama. And they just had the, you know, great running game, great defense. And you just get the guy who just knows what he's doing. But let's see if that works this year.
I really don't want the list. I'm the editor. I'm going to look. Pete, you're going to write a column 5 years from now. How many teams are playing what we used to call Division I football? I don't care what letters you put on it. How many teams, if there's 130 now, what's the number going to be in 5 years that are competing for that trophy?
131, I think it's, you know, James Madison, throw that in there. Next year you get Jacksonville State in there. I do think it's going to, the technical way that you're going to approach this, you are going to say it's going to be like 140-ish or so. However, there's just going to be those obvious divisions. And for everyone who says, oh, my gosh, we're going to the era of the Super Conference where it's going to be just the Big Ten and the SEC. Well, what do you think we got now? I mean, that's what we're at. I mean, it's just not quite as cut and dry as it's going to be once the Big Ten owns the world, when it has all the markets, big markets coast to coast, and the SEC has all the monster, you know, programs down in the Southeast. But I do think that the difference is going to be how they expand the college football playoff, where they are going to go to 16, maybe 12, but they'll absolutely expand. 5 years from now, it is going to expand. It'll be just fine. And I do think you're still going to have all those other games. You're still going to want those. You're going to get the pushbacks. The whole idea of having an all-SEC schedule sounds fun, sounds nice, like we had in, you know, 2020 for the Big Ten and the Pac-12. But if you're, like, say, I don't know, Kentucky or Ole Miss, you know, yeah, you can have a couple good years. But if you're having an all-SEC schedule, you're fighting to go 7-5 some years. You need those, you know, Akrons on the board for every once in a while, just to build up those win totals and make everyone happy.
Well, and they need that, the Akrons, the Kent States of the world. We talked about their independent schedule this year. They need those paydays as well to survive. So, you know, one or two games like that a year necessarily isn't a bad thing.
No, absolutely. And now the paydays are going to be ridiculous. I mean, now the money you're talking about the Big Ten getting, it's all going to go up from there. And it is going to be haves and have-nots, and even more so in terms of the money disparity, the talent disparity. But you're still going to have the MACs and the Sun Belt actually stepping up, and, you know, Conference USAs of the world. They're still going to need places to play, and there's still going to be a spot for them.
Tell me I don't have to be as worried about this as I am today. And by the way, I've totally changed my opinion about paying players, is what we used to call it, but now NIL just makes it sound a little bit nicer. Doesn't sound really as dirty. I'm nervous that because of NIL, we won't have any good investigations going forward. You know, the ones that take 3 and 4 and 5 years. So will we still have the ability to investigate somebody in an NIL world? Because we almost have one going on right now, and I'm not really sure how you can be investigating something that seems, by today's rules, perfectly acceptable.
It is perfectly acceptable. I mean, what hammered USC under with Reggie Bush in that era is now actually the model. That's exactly how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to have a marketing company. You're supposed to have, you know, deals. That's why USC is going to quickly rise up and be a superpower again, because they've got everything. They've got everything in place at USC, between the market size, now the Big Ten, the money, the fame, everything that goes into being in L.A., the glitz of that. I mean, that is the one program that can just rocket forward and be a superstar again because of NIL, more than just saying, let's just pay players. But in terms of the investigations, yeah, you know, all these things, like Johnny Manziel signing, you know, autographs, you know, that sounds cute. I mean, that's such a sweet thing. It sounds nice now. You know, all the kerfuffle over, you know, Cam Newton and did he or did he not and all that kind of stuff. That's part of the game now, and it's okay. It's actually fine. If someone, it's the perfect business model if you're the school or the conferences, because you don't have to pay your labor. You can, it's free labor for you that someone else is paying for. It's the perfect scenario for them.
Your thoughts on Georgia repeating this year?
Possible. You know, you got to get there first, and, you know, the talent is there. So there's really no excuse. The problem is Florida is going to be better. Kentucky is still dangerous. Tennessee's a whole lot better. So it's in one of those any given Saturday sort of things. Yeah, Georgia's better than everybody on its schedule. It doesn't have a date against Alabama. But talent-wise, it should be better than anybody else. But they could get stuck with one bad day where things just don't quite go right. And, all right, you have the three interception Stetson Bennett day. And I shouldn't dog him, or I should say three fumble day from the running back. There's something that goes wrong. And you lose that. If you have the one loss and you go to the SEC championship and you get Alabama or whoever is coming out of the West, you don't win that. All it takes is two losses, you know, to go from being in the mix of the national championship to being, you know, out in, you know, on a New Year's Day, you know, Florida bowl game. So they're right there for it.
What T-shirt are you wearing, Team Cal or Team Stoops?
I am on the team. Look, what Stoops has done at Kentucky is amazing, because for years it's always been, you know, oh, we're a basketball school. And I always kind of think if you're a big time university, you can, you know, walk and bounce a ball at the same time. You can do both. You don't have to be all focused on one or the other. Just because people go there because of the perception, it's easy to flip that around. And on the other side, too, I mean, you can have great basketball at some of these, you know, big-time football schools. So, look, what Stoops has been able to do at Kentucky, that's not an easy lift. I mean, to be as consistent as they are, they don't get all the superstar and five-star talent that the other places get in the SEC. I mean, that's the crazy part. You guys know this, where you could have a top 10 recruiting class and still be like sixth in the SEC. Kentucky doesn't get that. So Stoops has been able to put together a system where every year it all works and they're right there. And this is one of those years where if they can still be competitive when that Georgia game comes around in mid-November, you've kind of done your job there, UK.
You're not too old, but can I ask how old are you?
I am 52 at this point.
Okay,
yes.
Describe the average weight room that you walked in when you were starting in this business.
Oh, my God. It's insane. The facilities are so out of – I live in Chicago, so I'm in Highland Park, right, you know, north side of the – just north of Evanston here. Try, like, Northwestern. I mean, forgetting, like, the big superpowers that have these palatial things happening, Northwestern has the most beautiful practice facility in all of college football. It's this gorgeous thing. It overlooks the lake. That's Northwestern. You know, so the weight rooms, the facilities, everything that goes into the big giant business of college football is just crazy now. And it's you got to do it because you got to attract the talent, and you know, it's the investment in the program, and that's what everyone's trying to do is improve the weight room. I mean, look, a weight's a weight. You just lift it. It's just the different ways that they can do it now.
Keeping up with the Joneses is what it's all about. Pete Futek, always a pleasure having you on. We'll talk once the season rolls around.
Have a good one, guys.
You do the same. Pete Futek, College Football News, with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.